Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow. Very excited to be here, but I have to say, I feel a little bit under pressure to be up here. I mean, I'm not a very tall guy, so all my life I've been praying to God. I want to be short, a little bit taller than I am. And today I get to be tall. Thank you so much, David, and the leadership of the church for inviting Compassion to come over and share with you today. It's really exciting. It's very honoring to have this opportunity. So thank you very much, David. Really appreciate it. This morning, I want to share with you, for the sake of time, I'm going to dive right in, if that's okay. This morning, God laid on my heart to share with you, the greatest of this is love. And just wanted to share with you from the scriptures, the parable of the Good Samaritan, as I feel the Holy Spirit shared with me as I was preparing. This is a parable that we are very familiar with as Christians, but Jesus used this parable to teach very significant lessons to us. Even though this parable came about from a question that was put to Jesus, and the person who asked the question had ulterior motive, you know, when they asked the question. So let me quickly read the parable to us from the book of Luke, chapter number 10, from 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him for half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he answered, "He who showed him mercy." He answered, "He who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. This is the word of God. Now, in this particular passage, Jesus paints a certain picture for us all to see. You know, when you consider the whole coming of Christ to die for us, it is a story of God interceding. It is a story of God's intervention for man to ensure that we are saved from sin. Now, it feels like Jesus was telling his own story here, but putting different characters into the script. Because he had been sent by his Father to come and die on the cross so that you and I will live. Hallelujah. Now, this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho had fallen into the trap of armed robbers, you know, attacking him, taking his belongings, stripping him of his dignity, taking away everything that made him a human being. There are a few things that we could attribute to this man, because the Bible said they left him for half dead. He couldn't speak for himself. He was very vulnerable at the point. He was broken, probably hopeless that someone would find him and help him. And his situation was very critical because someone needed to find him early enough to give him life. He could have died because he was already half dead, as the Bible says. Now, interestingly enough, a few people came by. And I don't know why Jesus decides to use the priest, David, and the second person as well, also as a worker in the temple. So God wanted to paint a picture that, look, sometimes even us as Christians, we come face to face with certain things and quickly we want to look the other way because that's the easiest option to take. Amen. Let me encourage us this morning that as brethren in the Lord, we don't want to be like the two people who came and went the other way because that's what Jesus, exactly what Jesus was saying. I don't want you to be like those two people. And don't get me wrong, those two people, I try to be an advocate for them and I try to just sit back and try to understand why they did what they did. And they had very solid reasons why they couldn't help this poor man. In the culture in which they were, they couldn't be found with a dead body because they would be considered unclean and they couldn't minister to their, you know, congregation. So that was the quick way out of, you know, that was their reason. They couldn't bring themselves to help this poor man who was lying down by the road. Now, let me ask you a question. When God brings you in contact with situations that are very difficult and you feel within your heart that God is calling you to help, sometimes very challenging, but the human in us all would want to take that easy option of, now I don't want to get myself involved with this. And I would have done the same if I was the priest on that road that day. And I'm being very honest here. I don't know about you guys, but this place is dangerous because one person has already been beaten, stripped of his humanity, and he was lying there. What if I spend any more time there and I also fall into the same fate? I'll be in a hurry to exit that place. That is a good reason, isn't it? But Christ is calling us to say, look, this man had compassion on this person. And because of that, the good Samaritan, he had compassion and he stopped. He may have also had a reason, as I've alluded to already. This is a dangerous route. Let me be quick and get on my way. Because he was also carrying goodies. He could have been robbed as well. But he said, I'm going to stop. I'm going to put everything on hold. I'm going to put all my excuses aside and I'm going to attend to this person and minister to him. That is the heart that God is calling us to. And mind you, the other people who came ahead of this good Samaritan, they had good intentions. They saw the man and they had empathy. They had sympathy for him, but they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop to help him because of the reasons I've already mentioned. But the good Samaritan, the Samaritan man stopped. He forgot about everything that he was going to do on his way and said, this is a moment to help a human being. Let me go close to him and find out what is wrong with him and help him. Now, you see, the component of action is what separates compassion from empathy, sympathy, pity, and the rest of the synonyms of compassion. You could see someone and have empathy on them, but that element of taking action, that is what compassion is about. And that is what Jesus was seeking to address on that day when he spoke to that man. The lawyer, the Bible says, was an expert of the law. So he is the wrong person to ask that question. And I tried to make sense of it, and it felt like God was saying, Christians, sometimes we are experts of our faith. We should know that love your neighbor as yourself. We should know it without asking a question. But we try to look for the easy way out because sometimes it's very costly and too expensive to give your time to help. But that is what God did. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to come and die so that you and I will have life. This Samaritan put his life on the line for the man who was half dead. Amen. Compassion gets involved. when others keep away. Compassion takes action when others want to look the other way. Compassion is always there to give help, to give a helping hand when they see that people are suffering. And compassion is what prompts us to act on behalf of others who are struggling. And I'm here to encourage us this morning that as of today, before I left home, I looked on Compassion's our database. And I'm very happy to say that as a church community, there are 46 children who are receiving support from this community. And I'm going to talk about that in a little while to give you an update on what your support is doing for these 46 children as at the time I was leaving. You are doing an amazing thing, putting everything on hold and giving your resources and your time to pray, to write letters to encourage these children so that with that effort, you release them from poverty in Jesus' name, and you ensure that they are built to become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. So I want to say thank you in advance before I get to that presentation. Now, what is the biblical definition of compassion? The Bible doesn't explain compassion like the dictionary does, simply telling us what the word means. But the Bible, instead, defines compassion by showing us exactly what to expect and what compassion looks like. Okay? And I'm going to read some few verses from the Bible to illustrate that. So the first one is taken from Proverbs chapter number 31, verse 8 to 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's the first scripture. The second scripture says in 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is what compassion is about. You cannot love in words, but you love with your actions. You love with your time. You love with your resources. And sometimes it's very difficult to love in a certain way, particularly to give time or to give just your presence to be there for someone. The third scripture, taken from 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Hallelujah. This is amazing, and I'm not going to veer off what I'm reading, but you see, Jesus talks about another parable somewhere else in the Bible when he talks about the parable of the talents, and I'm sure we're all familiar with it, but what he seeks to address with that parable, I believe, is this particular passage that I've just read. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It's as simple as that. Amen? Difficult sometimes, I must admit, but very simple and straightforward. Now, the next scripture. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. And this one is found in Zechariah 7, 9 to 10. The final one, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Philippians 2:1-2. The spiritual definition of compassion involves acting to alleviate the suffering of others. That is why God gave his only begotten Son to stand in the gap for you and I. You cannot love and not take action. You cannot have compassion and not take action. it now makes sense to me after going through the passages and doing all of the reading and everything, I feel the Holy Spirit telling me that the greatest people are not those who walk in love alone. Okay, the greatest people are those who walk in love and compassion. Sorry. The greatest people are those who walk in love and compassion, not those who are able to move mountains by their prayer. Okay, and not those who are able to understand spiritual things, spiritual matters alone. It is good to understand spiritual matters, but what good is it if you cannot move in action, as Christ was sharing here with us in the parable of the Good Samaritan? And there is a biblical test to that. I just didn't come up with it, but I feel the Holy Spirit saying, read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 2. And I'll just read the 13. If I speak in tongues of men, of angels, or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Amen. So today I just want to encourage us, as I've shared, that Christ is calling us. And I'm not saying this because as a church you're not already doing it. There is evidence from what I've seen in Compassion database that you have a heart of gold. You have a heart for the kingdom. And that is why 46 children today are able to go to the program and they receive countless number of hours of tutoring and help to become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. And someday I believe strongly in my heart that you meet that child in heaven. You could potentially meet them here on earth, but I believe strongly that someday, someone in heaven, and I believe we are all going to heaven, amen, I'll be there, and I'm expecting to see you there, and I believe that the children that we are helping out of poverty today, they will be there as well, and they will say to you that, oh, because you gave that amount, I was able to come into the program and be a blessing and receive so much. And that is how come I'm here today. Because for those of you who have never heard about Compassion, and I'm going to go on to the Compassion presentation, Compassion is a child-based organization. It's a Christian organization as well, and we work strictly with churches. So I have been working with Compassion for the past 13 years, and one of the things we've heard is, you know, organizations approaching Compassion, particularly government organizations, saying, hey, can you cross out the Christ part of what you do and we'll pump money into your ministry so you can reach more children? But then our leaders have always stood their ground and said, look, it's all about Christ. We are here because Christ called us to go out into the world to make disciples. So we cannot cross out our Christ element because you're going to pump money into us. We want to remain Christ-focused. So Compassion is a holy Christ-centered ministry, and we minister to children. We do that through churches, and we have about 1,800 churches across the globe that we work with.